Here in the wake of Christmas Eve,
in the wake of dreams made and realized,
we speak of love.
We speak of joy.
We speak the words, do not be afraid.
We follow the infant light to the temple.
We witness the expansive darkness of dreams yet forming, bursting forth with starlight and fire.
We witness Simeon's embrace fulfilled,
Anna's words taking flight to the heavens. Here, as Christmas unfolds, we are called to speak, for the world needs spoken dreams. Not empty promises, but dreams made of stardust and flesh,
of darkness's depth and fire's warmth,
of prayer and syllable and love's beating wing. So let us worship and listen. Then let us speak. Amen.
Born at Christmas. Seeing God in our midst is one thing. Speaking it out loud, the experience of seeing and experiencing God, is a completely different animal. Saying our witness out loud for all to hear can be really a challenge. But still, the world needs to hear your good news. The world needs to hear where we meet God. We are not called to be silent. We are called to dream. So let us pray together this prayer of confession. God of today and tomorrow, we know that your fingerprints are all over the world. And we know that those who dream cannot keep silent. So today, hear our prayer. Give us eyes to see you. Give us courage to trust you. And give us lips to speak and voices to witness about your fierce love in our lives and in the life of our community. Boldly we pray. Amen.
Divine voice, in the beginning, it was you who spoke over the water and brought forth creation. And then it was you who asked, Cain, where is your brother? It was you who spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. And it was you, through angels, who spoke to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. You have always been speaking, in words, in memories, in songs, and in dreams. So today, as we prepare to hear your word read aloud, we ask that you would speak to us once again, as only you can, so that we might speak the same good news to others. We are listening. We are grateful. Amen.
A reading from Luke 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "The child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there often with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And wide and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth.
The lyrics to the song our music team just shared, "I Heard the Bells," began as a poem called "Christmas Bells." Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote the poem "Christmas Bells" on Christmas Day in 1863. His second wife had died in an accidental fire 2 years earlier, and his son had been critically wounded in a battle that fall. Amid devastating personal anguish, and in the height of the Civil War, it's little wonder that Longfellow wrote, "And in despair, I bowed my head "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all." Longfellow's Christmas Bells refuses to turn away from despair. With hospital ICUs reaching capacity and infection rates raging out of control, the suffering in our world, right here in our own community, echoes, it seems to me, some of what Longfellow was feeling and experiencing. Generations before Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote that poem, Christmas Bells, two other aging, faithful prophets, Simeon and Anna, heard something that I imagine sounded to them like I heard the bells. They didn't exactly sing, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all." But their songs weren't far off. Luke's gospel tells us Simeon and Anna were of great age. Anna was a widow who never left the temple. And Simeon was guided by the Spirit to the temple to see the Messiah in his most advanced years. After taking the child in his arms, Simeon blessed the family and then turned to Mary, saying, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." What kind of blessing is that? Blunt, to be sure. Unnerving, definitely. I heard the bells is no sanctified Christmas carol, and this is no Hallmark blessing. Reverend James Howell writes, "Just a child, but hardly safe and harmless. Notice the order in the world. In the world, it's rise and fall, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, the rise and fall of the business tycoon, the rise and fall of a movie star. But with Jesus, it's fall and rise." Simeon blesses Jesus and Mary, but also warns that his calling will not come without cost. Many will reject this child, and ultimately his journey will lead to death. God's dreams persist despite opposition, rejection, injustice, and even death. So on this first Sunday in the 12-day season of Christmas, we are challenged as a community to wonder about the costs and the risks of pursuing God's dreams of falling and rising. Again, Luke's gospel says it this way: "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." Perhaps a blessing this challenging, this blunt, this unexpected might best be truly received and taken into the fabric of our being through poetry. And so I turn to United Methodist pastor, Reverend Steve Garness Holmes, who writes, "Not the rise and fall, like empires that come and go, but falling and rising, death and resurrection. Not an idol worshipped, but a sign opposed. Not an inspiring thought, but my own revealed. God, transform my inner thoughts and give me courage, accompanied by the divine child, to die and be raised. To enter this path of hard choices with love and grace. To enter this new year ready to become a new person." along with I Heard the Bells, our music team also shared their own version of a song called O Jerusalem. O Jerusalem was recorded by Odetta in 1960 for an album called Christmas Spirituals. Odetta famously returned to re-record many of those same African-American Christmas spirituals for a second album under the same title in 1987. The entire album, both the 1960 and 87 versions, are testaments to the raw truth-telling and power that we witness in Luke 2 as Simeon and Anna meet the Holy Blessed Family in the temple and see hearts, souls pierced, and a blessing that will be opposed as we are called into falling and rising. One music critic described Odetta's album, Christmas Spirituals, this way. She sounds like an opera singer one moment, a gospel singer the next, a folk pop singer sometimes, consciously evading settling in any of these. It's easy to see why Martin Luther King praised her above almost all other artists. Their vocal convictions are similar, though filtered through entirely different prosody. She delivers Christmas music as though it were a political speech. And perhaps these songs, once sung in covert resistance to oppression, are entirely suitable to being sung that way. Odetta's Christmas spirituals are songs born of struggle. Trained as an opera singer and drawn to folk music, her stunning voice is accompanied mostly by double bass, acoustic guitar. The lyrics, the movement, the sound, it somehow captures both falling and rising, death and resurrection, laying bare the depth of despair and leaning fiercely into the hope of God. While Simeon is the first to hold the sweet little baby born in a manger, Anna is the one in Luke's gospel who will not be silent. Luke's gospel says it this way. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. In hearing this, I'm left to wonder if we too might be called in this moment to praise God and to speak about the child as well. I wonder where and how we might be called, like Anna, to not be silent. Reverend Dr. Marcia Riggs, professor of Christian ethics at Columbia Theological Seminary, writes powerfully about this story. Both Simeon and Anna have been waiting a long time to proclaim this salvific news to others. They have been steadfast in their belief in God's promise. Steadfast, or as some might say in the Black church tradition, tarrying, abiding in the Spirit. It's like being in the REM stage of the sleep cycle. REM is traditionally described as the dream stage. In the dream stage, irrelevant information is removed, and our capacity to retain what is most important is heightened. When we are steadfast in our beliefs, we deepen our faith. Deep faith is not learned as doctrine, but through spiritual discipline and practices, such as praying and fasting. Like Simeon and Anna, as our faith deepens, the need to tell others about it will well up in us. Then we too will not keep silent. So I wonder what it might look like for us to follow in the ways of Simeon and Anna, deepening our faith through spiritual disciplines and practices. I wonder what commitments we might make toward this end as we look to a new year in the final days of this one. If Dr. Riggs is correct, deep faith is not learned as doctrine, but through spiritual discipline and practices. I wonder what disciplines and practices might shape us in becoming those who dream this very day of God's day of peace. 89 families, individuals and families in our community of faith here at the table have reflected on these various questions as they've shared their deep commitments for 2021. We take time each year to share deep commitments through an online form on our website. This is a way for us to discern the spiritual disciplines and practices which will help us to love God and to love our neighbors. We do this every year because deepening faith doesn't happen overnight. And so we take time to give voice to what is welling up inside of us, and these deep commitments then help shape the life that we will share together as a community of faith in the months and in the year ahead. And while 89 individuals and families have shared deep commitments, we've learned over our years here at the table that there are some who are needing the calendar to get closer to turning to find our way to have enough space, to carve out enough space in our lives to sit with those questions, those wonderings, to wonder about what it'll be like to love God and love our neighbors in the year ahead. So, having heard Simeon's challenging blessing and witnessed Anna refusing to be silent by praising God and sharing about the Christ child with those longing for redemption, we want to take a little bit of time on this final Sunday in this 2020 year to lift up a few of the ways, not all by any means, but a few of the ways people in our community of faith hope to deepen in faith in the coming year. So these are some of the things lifted up in our deep commitments. Worship weekly. Being part of a new kitchen table is very exciting to me, and I want to be a kind and responsible leader for my kitchen table group. I want to join others in welcoming refugees by setting up apartments for newly arriving families. I want to read books by progressive Christian writers focused on intersectionality. In the coming year, I want to reach in love by putting myself out there to serve both inside and outside our church community. I want to join others at least once a week at Table Farm. I intend to give generously to support ministries at the table, the Sacramento Food Bank, and Black-led Initiatives for Justice. I will lean into hope, seeking in Christian writings, in everyday stories, and in the lives of folks in our community, encouragement that grace abounds, redemption and rebirth is happening, and the Holy Spirit is moving. I hope to participate in online worship in pandemic, and then in the sanctuary when we're safely able to return for in-person worship. The Gospel of Luke says Anna never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. I trust Anna's faithfulness is calling our community of faith today to not be silent as we follow her in deepening our faith. Simeon says to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." And so many of us have felt our souls pierced these last months. Pierced witnessing our own government separate children from their families along the border. Pierced, looking on as anti-black racism is laid bare before us and the world. Pierced in learning of relatives and loved ones who've lost their lives to COVID-19. Pierced feeling the weight of economic collapse in the sprawling lines at food banks. And pierced just finding our way amid the marathon of physical distancing, which continues to amplify feelings of loneliness and isolation and depression in so many. Like Longfellow, who composed Christmas Bells so long ago, we have all found ourselves in despair, bowing our heads. And it was in a moment not unlike this, in which the Christ child was brought to Simeon and Anna long ago. So may we be steadfast in our belief in God's promise today, as Simeon and Anna were steadfast in their belief in God's promise long ago. May we join Anna in offering praise to God, and may we too speak about the child to all who are looking for redemption in this very day. Longfellow's Christmas Bells didn't erase the pain that he felt or the suffering that surrounded him. Yet despair did not have the final word. The poem concludes, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth God sleep. The wrong shall fall, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all." On this first Sunday of Christmas, may we hear in Simeon's blessing the challenge to join with God in falling and rising. May our souls, like Mary's, be pierced. May our faith deepen as we choose to dream as those who will not be silent. Redemption has been born into the world. So in our deepening faith, may the gift of God's love born among us, may it well up inside of our bodies, that we might join with Anna in speaking about the child who has come to bring peace on earth, goodwill to all. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor Matt, for that beautiful Christmas message and for the history of the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. You're right. Longfellow's poem, it cannot erase the pain, but thankfully he wrote down his feelings. He wrote them down with pen on a page so that we can revisit them over and over again. It is in that way that we can keep despair from having the final word. Amen. Amen. So I want to transition us now from Pastor Matt's message into prayer. I want to invite us to hold this poem, hold all that he just shared with us, his witness, those tender sharings from our deep commitments in our own hearts, as we join our voices with the ancient voice of Anna and Simeon in prayer. Let us hear once again this beautiful song as we join together in prayer.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and wide and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth. peace on earth, goodwill to all. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace.
Companion God, may Simeon's blessing challenge our faith. May Anna's praise serve as inspiration for us to share our own witness about the child who has come to bring the peace we so desperately long for on our earth. Amen. Amen. It is such a privilege to be part of God's community here at the table, and we want to invite you to join us when you are ready to respond to the longings that God has placed upon your heart. We invite your generous giving to our Christmas offering. People are hungry. People have been displaced, and we can help. Our plan is to share our Christmas offering equally with the Sacramento Food Bank and the fire-ravaged community of Big Creek here in California. There are links right now in the comments for your giving. Many folks are longing to express their hope and gratitude. We know that. And many folks do that through the giving of gifts. And we want you to know that you are more than welcome to make a special one-time year-end gift to the table. Just go to our website, thetableumc.org. And there you're going to find a link in the upper right-hand corner. It's an invitation to a simple process, and we hope that you will take some time to consider giving a gift. You may also give by text. There's a number there that's on the screen. You can text any amount you would like to that number, and your gift will go to support the ministries of the table. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing in our life together. If you have just found us worshiping here online or have been checking us out for a few weeks and are starting to wonder about how it is we share life together here at the table and want to take an easy next step, you can text the word new to the number that's on the screen. Or you can also go to our website, thetableumc.org, and find a connect pop-up there in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. Both will help us connect with you so that you can learn a little bit more about the table. When you're ready to go a bit deeper and learn more about our story and also to connect with others in a small group, we invite you to consider joining a series that Pastor Matt and I teach together. It's called Growing in Faith. Our next group is full, but that is okay because we have scheduled another one to begin Sunday, January 24th, 1 to 2:30 p.m. for 6 weeks. And you're welcome to register online and join us. We are so grateful to have shared in online worship on this first Sunday of Christmas with all of you. We look forward to seeing you again. We want to close with a song that comes out of quite an ancient tradition in Europe, especially in England. Around the time of Halloween, I'm not saying that wrong, Halloween, families in the medieval times traditionally made soul cakes in remembrance of those who had died. Children and those living in poverty would go from door to door, singing or saying prayers out loud, and in return, they would receive what was known as a soul cake. The custom was known as souling, and the cakes were sometimes known as souls. Some historians track this activity as the origin of our modern custom of trick-or-treating. So why am I telling you this at Christmas, this first Sunday of Christmas? Well, as time went on through the ages, mummers, you spell that M-U-M-M-E-R-S, mummers, who were amateur actors and entertainers that performed in groups in the community and wore costumes, took on this tradition. They performed at special times of the year, but most especially at Christmas. And they would go from one home to another and given then food, drink, or other gifts in return for their performances. So you guessed it. They took that song, Soul Cake, and turned it into a Christmas song. So our closing song, Soul Cake, comes to us from that tradition. They actually ended up calling it souling. Isn't that beautiful? Souling. We loved Sting's version so much, so we want to share it with all of you. As a closing blessing from all of us here at the table to everyone who is sharing in the mystery of Christmas with us today, may we share God's dream and may we not be silent. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for God who made us all. See you next week.
Is a soul cake, an apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please goodness, is a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for him that made us all. A soul cake, please goodness, is a soul cake, an apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. God bless the master of this house and the mistress also, and all the little children that round your table grow, the cattle in your stable, the dogs at your front door, and all that dwell within your gates, we'll wish you 10 times more. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake, an apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for him that made us all. Go down into the cellar and see what you can find. If the barrels are not empty, we hope that you'll be kind. We hope that you'll be kind with your apple and your pear, and we'll come no more souling till Christmas time next year. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake, an apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for him that made us all. The streets
streets are very dirty, my shoes are very thin. I have a little pocket to put a penny in. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. A soul cake, a soul cake. Please, good missus, a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, a soul cake. Please, good missus, a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for him to make us all.